He is risen. Welcome as we come to receive the gifts that our Lord has to give us this morning, the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, and the promise of everlasting life. Let us begin our service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is."
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, April 21st, 2024, worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in this morning's broadcast are Dennis Knauer, Linda McEwen, and Casey Jones. Our organist is Dora Thompson, and our opening hymn is number 709, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." Hymn number 709, found in the Lutheran service book. Randy and Betsy Pesch are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in celebration of their 44 years of marriage on April 12th. Mike and Keena Rose are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in loving memory of Harold Dean Rose.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father. Most
merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The first reading for this, the fourth Sunday of Easter, from the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, beginning at the first verse. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By him is this man standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The catechetical review. In regards to the table of duties, what does the table of duties say to widows?
The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives.
The epistle reading from 1 John, the third chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand is not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered and was buried,
and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father.
And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets.
And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins,
and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 900, Jesus' Name of Wondrous Love, hymn number 900, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
The sermon text for this morning from today's gospel reading, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Thus far the words of our text. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So today we find Jesus taking an illustration from the earth, everyday life. The folks around him would have seen things like sheep and shepherds quite commonly, so he grabs an illustration from that everyday experience. It's probably much like us speaking of farming. Even though most of us don't farm, we can recognize, you know, things from a farm. Tractors, diskers, combines, planters, elevators, my personal favorite, the batwing mower. All these things, you know, we can kind of recognize and grasp what somebody's talking about when they begin to speak of it. In the same way, Jesus' students are acquainted with some of the issues of taking care of a flock. They know the issues around it. They're associated with it. They've observed it, things of that nature. Now, the teaching of Jesus, in this teaching, he doesn't identify the problems that the sheep encounters. He says the sheep need a shepherd. He doesn't say why they need a shepherd, but the sheep's penchant for inattention, the sheep's penchant for wandering off, and their decided need of security and protection is simply implied by what Jesus says, as if such things are common knowledge, right? It's kind of like baptism, right? In early church, it was common to baptize children, so they didn't write about it a lot. Everybody just knew, this is what you do, you baptize children. It wasn't until much later in the church's history that somebody said, why are we doing that? That's a whole different discussion for another day. But you get the picture. Things that are common and commonly understood, there's not a whole lot of need to write them down. So Jesus doesn't mention them because people are aware of these things. Jesus then goes on to lay out his qualifications to be our shepherd so that we will obey his invitation to follow me. Who is Jesus as shepherd? Okay, that's a fair question. That's a good question. He's good. He's good. He knows the sheep by name. And he's so familiar with the sheep that the sheep recognize him and they recognize his voice. In addition, Jesus is the one who will put his life between the sheep and the dangers that they face and the dangers that threaten him. He is the one who will die for the sheep. Christ has no ulterior motives. His relationship with his flock is based on pure and perfect selflessness. Jesus gains nothing in laying down his life for the flock. Well, let's just say it. Jesus is the good shepherd. We are the sheep. We are the flock. If he didn't die for us, he wouldn't cease to exist. There's nothing that we have that he needs. The list could go on and on and on, but the point is, Jesus does what he does out of selfless love for us. This is way different than the non-shepherd or the hired man who would abandon the flock at the first sign of danger. Now, who is the hireling? The hireling could be false religions or those who promote wrong-headed theological ideas. The point being that these false shepherds do not protect, they do not save, and in some instances these non-shepherds are quick to abandon the flock, and they are quite dangerous to the flock itself. The good shepherd has the means and the ability to protect the flock from the dangers that are embodied in the wolf. These dangers are the various spiritual dangers that we are faced with every day. The Christians who are in the world are under assault by the devil, the wolf, so to speak. Surrounding us are the dangers of Satan, the dangers of Satan's wily ways. He's not simply a mischievous trickster, but he's a ravenous wolf, seeking whom he may devour. He will draw the sheep away by the allurements of the secular world. He will get us to be blinded to our own sins and our own things that we're doing. We can certainly find out what other people are doing, but he blinds us to what we're doing that is sinful and helps us or causes us to not see that. Right? He draws us away from the true teaching by false religious leadership and wrong-headed doctrines. All of these are formidable foes, which you and I can't fend off by ourselves. If left to our own devices, we would falter and we would fail. But we need the protection of the Good Shepherd, and this is what he says that he does. But just who is the Good Shepherd? Well, you know who the Good Shepherd is. He's Jesus of Nazareth. You look at the book of Acts, and the man who, by whose name do you do these things? By the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Well, the question still is out there. Who then is this Jesus of Nazareth? He is the wisdom and he is the Word of God. He is the one who is active at creation. He is not only the caretaker of the sheep, he is the creator of the sheep. This relationship gives Jesus the authority to say and do the things that he does. And this relationship with the sheep is based on Jesus' relationship with the Father. Jesus is true God, and he is also true man. He is the only Son of the Father. He is the Word of creation who was made flesh for us. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. He is our shepherd. He is our protector. He is our defender. Jesus himself also tells his disciples, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this flock. The flock, sheep that he will bring in. It is true that the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, are the family through whom God chose to bring the Messiah. But they are not the only people to be saved. It is more important to be Abraham's descendant by faith than it is to be Abraham's descendant by blood. Look at Jesus' human lineage. Look at the things Jesus did. He did not exclude the non-Jewish people from his teaching. Some of the first people to show up after the shepherds, you know, that are recorded for us, are the wise men from the east. These non-Jewish people, these Gentiles, come to worship at the feet of Jesus. And this lets us know, it lets us know that Jesus is for Gentile people also, and that's you and I. We are the people of the other flock. We are the sheep of the other flock. Jesus has come for us also. Jesus is the Savior over all people. He atoned for the sins of all people. Not just some people, but all people. Jesus fulfilled the law, not just for a few, but for all people. Jesus dies not for just one or two or 10 or 1,000 or 100,000 people, but he dies for all people. And we are a part of all people. That's you. That's me. That's all of us who are alive today. Jesus died for us also. And we look to Jesus, our good shepherd, for the certainty of our salvation. We trust in Jesus. We trust in what he has done for us on our behalf. Jesus fulfilled the mission that his Father sent him to accomplish. He who is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father is the author of our salvation. The Father sent the Son to accomplish the very things which we ourselves could not accomplish. Our shepherd is true God, able to keep the whole will and law of God for us in our place, to be able to die for us and rise again, thus defeating the forces of evil arrayed against us. He is also true man who is able to completely and totally suffer the pains of separation from the Heavenly Father for us and in our place. He is really suffering the weight of sin to experience in his flesh the penalty of hell and separation from God so that you and I don't have to suffer those penalties when we trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting. So perhaps the Good Shepherd laying down his life for the sheep should evoke more for us than simple dying. But laying down his life for the sheep should also encompass the idea of eternal death. The good shepherd died not only for the sheep, but he also suffered separation from the Father for us. Jesus' confrontation with death really is different than our death. Death overcomes us, but Jesus gave his life over into death. He gave himself up to death. Once we die, we cannot resurrect ourselves, but Christ, being God in the flesh, has the power to rise again. Now we see why the good shepherd of the sheep is so bold to protect the sheep. He has the power of life in and of himself. In light of this, our confidence in Jesus is made sure. Jesus is the good shepherd of the sheep. He is devoted to us. He places himself between us and all of our enemies. He rescues us. He brings us back to life. And so the text has come full circle. The text begins with the shepherd who is brave even to the point of death. And it ends with Christ laying down his life for us only to take it up again. That is the confidence of the Easter message. Jesus laid down his life. Jesus took up his life again. Jesus is the name above all names. Here is our message. Here is what we preach and proclaim today. Here is what I want you to walk out the door with and take home with you for the rest of the week. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. In that Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Shepherd of Israel, in your Son, Jesus Christ, you have sought out your sheep and gathered us into your flock. Keep us always in your fold and guard us from every wolf and every snare. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son has called us to love our brothers. Turn us in love toward the neighbors closest to us, especially within our own homes, that we may daily show our confidence in God by deed and by truth, laying down our lives as Christ did first for us. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, through the Paschal Lamb, you have wrought peace between man and God. By your gift of good government, grant peace and good days also to our citizens and between the nations of the world, that we and all our neighbors may lead quiet lives in godly contentment. Lord, in your mercy.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, by the first fruits of Christ's life from the dead, you secured forgiveness for our troubled consciences. Bless also with temporal health and well-being those who suffer among us, especially those who are undergoing cancer treatments and who are recovering from various surgeries. We ask also that you would provide successful eye surgery for Bill Breen this week, and we ask that his healing would go well and quickly and smoothly. Here are our prayers for Keith Rose's daughter, Autumn, as she will undergo medical treatments this week. And we also ask you to bear up Carl Awe, as he too will undergo medical testing this week. Grant to those for whom we pray aid in this moment, and even more so, true immortal health in the world to come. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our shepherd, you calm all fears in this valley of the shadow of death, and you prepare the holy table of your Son's testament for us in the presence of our enemies. Grant us repentant and faithful hearts in every tribulation or besetting sin, We pray you to lead us to find comfort in and strength in your overflowing mercy given to us here in this sacrament. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, out of your fatherly goodness, you have remembered us, poor, miserable sinners, and you have given your Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd knows us and helps us in every affliction, we may also know him, trust him, seek help and comfort him, and comfort in him, heartily obey his voice, and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, and just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver this morning's message. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 a.m. over WLLM 1370 a.m. or WLLM 105.3 FM, or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of our Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for the singing of the offertory. Up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Communion hymn, number 641, "You Satisfy the Hungry Heart." Hymn 641, found in the Lutheran Service Book. Thank you. The next communion hymn will be I Am Jesus' Little Lamb, hymn number 740, found in the Lutheran Service Book. The next communion hymn will be Oh, That I Had a Thousand Voices, hymn number 811, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please rise. The true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is hymn number 710, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want. Hymn number 710, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Couple announcements. Megan, do you want to go first this morning? Can you maybe come to the lectern here, and we'll get the people in the radio room to have that lectern on so everybody can hear what you're saying?
Good morning. Next Sunday on the 28th of April, starting at 3:30 to 5:30, is going to be another spring cleaning day here at the church, indoor, outdoor, and at the school. There will be food provided at 5:30. We have a lot of jobs for outdoor work, and for cleaning up the classrooms and different things here in the church. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to Peggy Meyer or myself, and we would love to have any and all help.
And that's next Sunday? Next Sunday. Okay. All right. I thought it was this afternoon. I was like, 28th? Oh, okay. A couple things. Please remember there's a voters meeting this Tuesday at 7 p.m. in the auditorium. So all voting members of a congregation are invited to attend the voters meeting to hear the business of the congregation and vote on anything that needs to be voted on. I need to ask, like, I can hear an alarm going off. Like, if it's something on your body, I don't know where it's coming from, but we've got an alarm underneath the elevator that when it goes off, we got to get it taken care of. And underneath here, somewhere, is a brand new April Air humidifier. And you might hear a noise, like it runs constantly to help with the mold abatement and make sure the moisture's out of the air so we don't grow mold in the basement. You might hear it venting through there. I think Dora said once it sounded like water was running in here. She was by herself practicing the organ. Somebody else mentioned there's something running constantly. It's the whole, but I don't know if it has an alarm on it either. So we're going to have to go down and check to see if there's an alarm on that, to see if that's what's making the beeping noise. Something is making a beeping noise, so I don't know what it is, but if you got phones or watches that are set for alarms, can you please turn them off for the service? Because now I don't know if it's that or if it's an alarm for another piece of electronic equipment within the building. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.